If you've ever looked at your paycheck and seen a deduction for SSDI on there and not really understood what that is Social Security Disability Insurance. And we're going to talk about that right now because we have two people with us who say the system is broken, but they don't necessarily agree on why it's broken. But here's the headline. SSDI applications are up 21% over last year. So more than 8 million disabled workers are now collecting Social Security Disability Insurance, and that's up from 5 million 10 years ago. Joining us now to talk about it is James Ledbetter. He's been covering this topic for Slate, and he believes SSDI has become overly expensive and out of control. Is that accurate, James?
It is. This is a program that began its life in the mid-50s as a very small disability program that probably applied to only 150,000 or so people, that has mushroomed into a program that now has 8 million workers plus another million people who are related to those workers. It's projected to grow to 11 million workers in the next couple of years. And the growth of that level tells me that the program is being used for some other purpose than what it was originally intended to do. And it has the unfortunate effect of taking the vast majority of people who are participating in it out of the workforce pretty much for all their lives.
Okay.
That's a mistake.
All right. Paul Nolan is also with us. Paul, would you agree with James that the system, the Social Security Disability Insurance system, is not working efficiently?
It's certainly not working efficiently. But I don't necessarily agree with the reasons Mr. Ledbetter gives.
Right. Well, we're going to go into that. Paul Nolan is an attorney who specializes in Social Security disability cases. Why do you think the system is broken?
The average claim, well, first you have to understand that one out of three applications for disability are approved at the initial stage. 2.5 million people apply. 1.5 million, 1.6 million get denied. Now, of those who appeal that, the appeal takes 2 to 3, sometimes 4 years to get that resolved. So if you're not approved at the initial stage, you're waiting several years with no income to get benefits that you may be entitled to.
Well, let me focus on my personal experience. And Paul, you may have some insight into this, and James, you as well. You know, 34 years ago, I was in a car accident, got this permanent spinal cord injury, was told I'm in a wheelchair for the rest of my life. I instantly was eligible for Social Security disability and started getting those yellow checks. You know what I'm talking about, Paul?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, the Social Security checks were green. The DI ones were yellow. When I finally got a job, and it was fairly quickly after leaving the hospital, it took a lot of effort, James Ledbetter, for me to convince the Social Security Disability Office not to pay me anymore. And I've always had the suspicion that if I get laid off tomorrow, I could go on disability again because my disability hasn't changed, even though I am a part of the workforce.
Not only that, I hope because you're paid more now than you were 34 years ago, your benefits would be much higher because they're actually pegged to your most recent earnings. I think that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. Look, it's clear that there are millions of Americans who are too disabled to work for the rest of their lives. I find it almost impossible to believe that everyone who is currently receiving SSDI is ineligible to work in any way for the rest of their productive lives. It just doesn't make any sense. But I should say that the single largest category now of symptoms or conditions, disabilities that get people on SSDI are in fact mental disorders, not physical disorders. And this at a time when, at least in theory, mental illness is more treatable now than it has ever been. Again, if you are depressed, too depressed to continue on in a job, perhaps some combination of medication and therapy will get you to the point 3, 5, 10 years down the road where you could in fact work. And I think most Americans think that having a productive job helps your mental health.
Well, Paul Nolan, let me put that question to you. You've been representing clients in these kind of cases for 30 years. Have you come in contact with clients that you felt maybe didn't have a claim? In other words, they should be working instead of just collecting benefits?
I myself have had clients that do not meet the qualifications, and I tell them so. because it's not certainly not worth my time or their time to spend 2-3 years appealing a case when there's no chance of winning. And I think that accounts for, you know, the 1.5 million people who never bothered to appeal their cases. But sure, there may be some people who are collecting who may not be eligible, but I don't think that's such a huge problem. I would say that, well, in my experience, over 90% of the cases I pursue, I win.
I wouldn't suggest that the problem is really on the indoor. I'm not suggesting that there's sort of vast numbers of people who are misrepresenting qualifications to get in. My concern is really on the outdoor, that not enough people are in any way encouraged to leave the system, and therefore we have this massive ballooning of the program, which, by the way, will go bankrupt. If it continues to grow at its current rate, it'll run out of money, and then we're going to have to fund it through some other mechanism. So whether we think it's a good program or a bad program or a misshapen program, it's going to go broke if we don't do something.
Well, that must be what your recent piece in Slate was called, America's Hidden Welfare Program, James Ledbetter, and clearly that's why. Paul Nolan, as an attorney who specializes in these kind of cases, do you agree that we can make the system more efficient, that we can get the number of workers who are collecting disability down?
Well, I certainly agree that there should be more incentives for people to get off the rolls and return to work. Social Security, the administration's been working on that. Not very successfully, I would agree. They have a ticket to work program, which would provide subsidies for vocational rehabilitation. They offer trial work periods where one can work for 9 months without the fear of losing their benefits. I think a lot of people who are collecting disability are afraid to try to go back to work because of health insurance.
Absolutely. Since I published my article, I've heard from a number of people on SSDI, some who have told me where to go, others who say I would definitely work if I could, and many who said they are afraid of losing benefits, even though the program spells out very clearly you're entitled to your Medicare benefits for 4.5 years, even if you leave. But I think a lot of people don't know that, and a lot of people, as Paul says, don't think they'll get health care.
All right, James Ledbetter, covering this issue on Social Security Disability Insurance for Slate.com, and Paul W. Nolan, attorney who specializes in these kind of cases. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Celeste.
So you can share your own story of Social Security disability. I head to the takeaway.org later this morning. Stay tuned for our special coverage on the oil well in the Gulf. It may be officially plugged, but there are lots of lessons to be learned and lots of final reports to be issued. And we're going to give voice to some people who we met during the crisis to talk about what they think is the bottom line here. If you want to keep on top of whatever we're working on, subscribe to get our texts. You send the word START to 69866. Every day we'll text you what we're working on and give you a chance to weigh in on this conversation at the Takeaway. That's START to 69866. I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.